Live and direct from the MMA World Headquarters, Chris Matthews.
Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm Chris Matthews. Make sure you check out the website, MMALockup.com. We're also Facebook and Twitter at MMA Lockup. On the line with a special guest, strength and conditioning coach for the Jackson camp, also the owner of Adrenaline Performance Center. I'd like to welcome Jonathan Chamber. Jonathan, tell us a little bit about the Adrenaline Performance Center, if you would.
It's been around for a few years now. I had a small location before. We just moved to a huge location in Montreal. It's home to the best athletes in all sports, Olympians, all-stars in NHL, Major League Baseball, obviously in the UFC. It's just a great atmosphere where we have tremendous athletes, tremendous clients, and finally we're open to the public where you could actually be a part of it, whereas before it was just a private gym.
How did you get into this particular profession, and how did it explode like it has?
I was actually a wrestler, a freestyle wrestler, and I had a series of concussions a long time ago. And while I was in school in exercise science, and I just came to a point where I needed to take an entire year off of wrestling because the concussions, there were a few in a row and a few bad ones. So I devoted my time to just going around and studying, and at the same time I was training the national team at that point. And I just fell in love with it and wanted to make it a career. So I just tried to obviously broaden my horizons when it came to learning, to going to different conferences, summits, learning from different coaches, and building my own sort of modality where I have my own system that I train my athletes and my clients with.
I won't ever say that a concussion is a good thing, but some good things actually came out of this for you.
No, 100%. I mean, I fell in love with training people a long time ago, and lucky enough that I love what I do, and I have a huge client base, a huge market, and it's just fun with the talent and the people I can see. Not many people can say they see all stars in every sport, and I've been lucky enough to have a lot of opportunities training great athletes and doing great things in a lot of the sports.
Canadian athletes have exploded the last 15, 20 years. You got to take some pride being a big part of that.
No, for sure. In every sport, I was lucky enough to be a part of Georgia's success. When he won the belt and defended it a million times. And Rory McDonald, another great athlete who I'm very proud of, who's a Canadian kid. Mike Ricci, a lot of these Canadian kids that are young and coming on the scene. And it's been a pleasure to be a part of their careers. And Chris Letang, an all-star hockey player. Russell Martin, an all-star baseball player. It's fun to be a part of all these Canadian athletes in different sports, and it's fun to see them grow and see what they can achieve.
I'm sitting here looking at your website. I see a quote, "Suffer in training, not in fight." That's pretty powerful. That's really kind of taking baby steps when trying to get where you're trying to get within training. Explain that philosophy a little bit.
Well, the fight is the end result of months, years, micro cycles, mini cycles, mesocycle. It's just it's the end result, and you need to suffer in the prior time leading up to that fight or that event to make the event easier. So what we try and do is we try and prepare our athletes to the best of their abilities, whether it be that they're suffering, that they're working hard, they're training smart. We want them to suffer in the training so that the fight is the easiest. Outcome, and for our guys, luckily they've had good results. But all the athletes will tell you that they, in the gym would be their hardest trainings, and the fight doesn't come easy, but it's a lot easier than some of their trainings.
Every athlete's different. You've got to tweak certain parts of their game. What do you do in terms of detailed preparation for particular athletes? I'm trying to figure out the best way to put this, but overall, you guys have been successful. Every fighter, every athlete's different. What's you guys' approach to attacking that?
Well, I try not to create any cookie cutter program. So what that means is a cookie cutter is you have a big piece of dough and you have a cookie cutter and you cut a bunch of little cookies and they all sort of look the same. When you have a program like that, is you sort of group everybody into one basket. I try and analyze every single athlete individually, and from there, I try and build them a program design that sort of suits their strengths, their weaknesses, what they need to work on, their stabilities, their instabilities. And from there, at worst, I'll group athletes with similar abilities, and they can sort of train together. But other than that, my job becomes harder than a regular strength coach that just groups a team together and trains everybody the same. I sort of have to make everybody individual and treat them that way and build them individual sort of custom programs so that they can excel at a higher rate than just doing a team setting program where everybody's doing the exact same exercises.
I'm sure all of your athletes that you've helped, you got to take some pride in that. Is there any particular athletes that you sit back and think, man, I really did my job with this particular athlete. I really, helped him tap his potential. Is there any athletes that you sit back and think, man, I really earned my money there?
There's a lot in different ways and different reasons why that I'm really proud of. There's some guys that make it when their talent levels are not as high as most. There's a great expression that sort of goes that hard work trumps talent when talent doesn't work hard. And I've had a lot of guys that weren't ultra talented that just worked really, really hard and did the right things and succeeded, for the right reasons. I have guys like, that George is it a good example. He'll succeed no matter what. He's just that talented. He works really, really hard. I take pride in what he did early on and in the gains that he made early. But, I'm really, really proud of guys like Rory McDonald at a young age came in and worked really, really hard. Someone like Yves Jabouin, who people didn't really, really know about, but sort of has worked his way up. He's over 30 now, but he's just hitting a stride. Guys like that, I'm really, really proud of. Nathan Marquardt early on in his career, really, really trained hard. In every sport, I'm sort of proud of my guys. I'm proud of guys that you wouldn't even have heard of yet, like Nordin Taleb and Mike Ricci. Those guys are young, but they're going to be superstars in the game very soon. And, I've sort of had them from a young age, so it's sort of nice to see them blossom right now. Those are the guys I really take pride in, and it's fun to train them and see them grow and sort of reach their potential now.
We're talking to the strength and conditioning coach for the Jackson camp, as well as the owner of Adrenaline Performance Center, Jonathan Chamberg. Jonathan, George Rush St. Pierre, he got defeated by Matt Serra, came back better than ever. It seems like right now, he hadn't fought since, I believe, Jake Shields. He's had that long layoff, but at the same time, he's got that sense of paranoia that he had. It seems, from my standpoint, like he had after Matt Serra. Is there a chance the best George Rush St. Pierre has not yet been seen, and we might just see it when he comes back?
Well, I think he's going to need maybe a few fights to get off some of that rust. Obviously, with George, he never rests. He's pretty OCD when it comes to training, and he just loves it, and he's very particular about it and meticulous. So with him, I know that even if he was out with a knee injury, he's still at home watching video and thinking about training. He has a great team around him. I know Faraz, John Danar, they both really look out for him a lot. So I'm sure that he's going to be better than ever down the road. It's a tough first fight when you're dealing with Carlos Condit. I love Carlos. I've trained Carlos before. And, George, being away for so long, would probably have to, get a tune-up fight and not necessarily tune-up being Carlos, but, shake off that ring rust. And then from there, I can see, as long as the knee holds up, I can see George coming back better than ever.
You mentioned Rory McDonald. He has a matchup with BJ Penn. Do you think we're going to get to see that matchup maybe pushed to a further date, or is it something that we're just going to put on the shelf right now at this point?
I'm praying. I mean, I was there when it happened, and thank God one of my doctors who actually trains at APC, I called him immediately when it happened, and he did me a huge favor, and he stitched up Rory, probably the best stitch job you'll ever see. His name's Haim Edelstein. He's probably one of the best ophthalmologists in Montreal, and just You wouldn't imagine the job he did on Rory's eye to report. He only put maybe 37 stitches in, but Rory was, just before he saw him, he wants that fight. You don't know how bad Rory wants that fight. He would fight him tomorrow, and Rory was looking so sharp. I've never seen Rory look that sharp. And, you know, a lot of people say it, you know, often, you know, how sharp someone's looking, but Rory looked so good. It was actually scary. So I'm really hoping that we'll see that fight maybe in Montreal. If all things go as planned, would be the perfect timing. Would be on the Montreal card underneath, you know, George and Condit. Would be a, you know, a fun weekend here.
You might not be at liberty to say if you are great and if you're not great, but what exactly happened with the injury with Rory McDonald? We've read the reports. How bad was the cut?
Oh, it was pretty bad. Like I said, we did three layers of stitches, so it probably was, you know, probably 37, 38 stitches. They went inside and outside. It was pretty deep, in a horrible place because it was right above the eye. So, you know, and Rory is a warrior. Rory really wanted to fight, and he just would have missed so much time training, wrestling, sparring, rolling. It would have been tough. He would have gotten no training camp in before that fight. And it's, you know, when you're fighting BJ Penn, you need a training camp. Rory, hopefully that fight will happen in the next 2 months. We'll see what happens. It's sort of still up in the air, but it was a pretty gruesome cut. It was pretty bad, and you know, thank God we stitched it up right away, and you know, we can start the healing process, and hopefully he'll be able to start maybe sparring again or doing some activity in 3 weeks from now.
Jonathan, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. I'll ask you a couple more questions and let you get back to what you were doing. You mentioned Rory McDonald. These young fighters, it seems like they just have this attitude that's tough to handle. Himself, Michael Mayday McDonald. Is this something you're seeing that's pretty common with this generation coming up?
No, actually, it's not. There's an attitude of a fighter, and then there's an attitude of an athlete, and Rory is both. I've sort of said it before that you have great fighters, you know, natural fighters, then you have natural athletes, and then you have both. There's people who are just, you know, warriors, real tough guys, but maybe not the greatest athletes. You know, a good example would be maybe Clay Guida, who's just a scrapper, loves to fight, maybe not the most athletic person in the world, but he gets things done. There's probably examples of that in every weight class. And then you have guys who are just unbelievable athletes, you know, George comes to mind, John Jones, and then you have people, you know, who have both qualities, and that's a Rory McDonald who loves to fight. He's just an animal, but at the same time is just an unbelievable athlete, and that's the quality you want to see. You know, some kids coming up are very successful, but, you know, they could be unbelievable athletes, but when the going gets tough, you know, their true mettle is tested, whereas Rory, he just loves to fight. He loves to train. He loves to fight. But he has that intangible that he's a great athlete at the same time. You know, he loves the sport. So I'm partial to him because, you know, I train him. But there's a generation coming up now. What separates them than the previous generation is they are growing up as MMA athletes, whereas, you know, years ago, you know, the Matt Hughes era, you were labeled a wrestler. You were labeled a striker, grappler, and so on. Now these kids are starting off from day one as total martial artists. So it's kind of unreal to see what maybe in a few years from now the sport will bring, because now you have John Jones, you have Rory McDonald's, you have, you know, Michael McDonald's, you have guys that are sort of good at everything. And I'm surprised. I'm actually anxious to see what the future holds for the sport, because if these are the athletes that we're producing now, I can't wait to see in a few years from now.
Jonathan, you're a former national wrestler yourself. I was asked this question a couple of days ago, with it being the Olympics and whatnot. What happens if you take an Olympic gold wrestler, you put him into the UFC? How does he fare? Does he dominate, or does he get dominated?
Right now, the game is just too advanced. Like I was saying, back in the day, you could have taken an Olympic wrestler. A lot of guys had success. You had Mark Curry, you had Mark Coleman, you had Kevin Randleman, you had guys that weren't even Olympic wrestlers, but were were high level wrestlers and they dominated the sport. But now it's just too advanced. The athletes are too good and they're too good in more than one discipline. Back in the day, if you only had one discipline, if you had a striker and the wrestler took you down, you were done. Now the striker, you know, has takedown defense. He might be able to get up from the ground. He might have jiu-jitsu. So, you know, you need to be a lot more well-rounded than just a pure wrestler. But that being said, I think that wrestling is the number one, the single most important discipline there is in mixed martial arts. Being biased or not being biased, they're partial. This sport is it holds the key to everything because if you look at all the great fighters, you know, let's leave out maybe Anderson Silva, Jose Aldo, and Jose Aldo has great, you know, takedown defense, but a lot of guys in every sport have a great wrestling background, and it's crucial. It's real crucial to being a great MMA athlete. So, you know, Chael, you know, Rashad, John Jones, George, these guys are all great athletes, Cain Velasquez, but they're great wrestlers. So I do think that wrestling is the most important part of mixed martial arts, but it's not the only part, and you need to be a lot more well-rounded than just one being great at one thing.
Jonathan, before we let you go, this weekend, the lightweight champion Ben Henderson takes on Frankie Edgar. What can we expect in this fight?
I love Frankie. You know, I've been around him. I know him well. But the thing is, I predicted that he'd lose the last fight. Just on style-wise, I mean, Ben Henderson is a huge 155er, and Frankie's really a 145er. Everybody's sort of saying that, you know, Frankie does great in rematches. I just think that this style fight, and Ben Henderson is just a freak in my mind, and I've never seen an athlete that powerful, or I don't want to say I have seen. I'm just very impressed with athletes that hold that much power but can maintain a great anaerobic threshold and cardiovascular threshold, and he's able to go for five rounds, as is Frankie, but he's a lot bigger, a lot stronger, and I think he'll be able to either, it's crazy to say, but I think he might be able to finish Frankie in the third or fourth round or get an easier kind of decision this fight.
Jonathan, it's been fun, man. That fight's going to be a barn burner. We're going to have you on again, talk about that. That's okay with you, my man.
That's great. I'd love to be back.
Hey, how can people check out Jonathan Chamberg and the Adrenaline Performance Center?
Well, check out www.adrenalineperformancecenter.com, exactly how it's spelled, the same way it's said. And we have a new address. You can see it on the website. Check out the videos. Definitely follow on Twitter at John Chamberg and on Facebook, and see what's coming up in the next few months.
We'll have to get a link up on our website. We're revamping ours. Anything we can do to get you guys out there. You guys are the ones that lay the foundation for the sport, and we all appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Have a great, great, great day.
You too. That's Jonathan Chamberg, the owner of Adrenaline Performance Center and also the strength and conditioning coach at the Jackson Camp. Make sure you check out the website, MMALockup.com, or also Facebook and Twitter at MMALockup. More to come. We get back.
To get the inside on two men on the ground without going to a bar. MMA lockup, brother.
You got it all.